Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And today is a really special day because I am honored to have Save the Family, a great organization, helping homeless families in many different ways, not only housing, but training and really to learn to be independent. And I want to introduce some of the people here from Save the Family. We have Jackie Taylor, CEO. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Dave.
CEO, this is great. You're the top banana.
I'm honored to
remember
be
that
there.
Airline top banana or the banana airline.
It was the banana airline.
Yeah,
I
remember. And then what was that? It wasn't Southwest. It was.
I'm drawing a blank on that.
Yeah, me too. We'll have to play Trivial Pursuit. And Tim Lidster, you're the community outreach development.
Outreach manager. Yeah.
Excellent, and of course, someone I've known for what? 10 years at least. Yeah. Tisha Diffie, and you're part of the development committee.
Yes, I am.
And welcome, all three of you.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
This is great because, you know, as I was reading the website, I think this is so important, especially when it comes to young kids. And this involves families, but some stats are staggering. We have more than 1.35 million children and youth experience life without a home. Recent estimates state that in the United States alone, 1 in 50 children are homeless. 41% of the homeless population in America are comprised of families. We have many family shelters don't even accept men, so it's causing split-ups. That's just outrageous. And 29% of adults in homeless families are working, which is interesting. A lot of people may not realize that. And 42% of children in homeless families are under age 6. That is not acceptable. We got to do something about that.
There you go.
No doubt. So let's take it one by one. More than 1.35 million children and youth experience life without a home. Who wants to jump in on that, and what's going on about that?
Well, it's an absolutely staggering figure. And as you can imagine, with the recession that we've been in, our economy, particularly in Arizona, is not getting better. Arizona has been one of the hardest hit states in the country relative to the economy. And we are seeing dramatic increases in homelessness as a result of that. Many of our families who come from the new face of homelessness, they are families that work. Many have been victims of foreclosure. They've been living in a rental. The landlord has been foreclosed upon, and they find themselves helpless without the wherewithal financially to enter new housing because of the requirements for first all the down payments and establishing the utilities and so forth. So it has always been a very tragic situation, particularly for children. They're so much the victims. But now families that should never, ever have had to experience homelessness are being hit, which makes it even a greater tragedy.
And it appears there's not enough resources, perhaps, with this increase. And what do you do about that?
You know, there are not. The demand for services and help is so much greater. Then it's not just in the arena of homelessness. It's in the arena of providing food and other emergency services. And truly, all we can do is do what we can do, take what we have, maximize those resources. I'm a firm believer in being the best steward of resources that we can possibly be so that we stretch those as far as we can and really working to make a difference one family at a time.
And also during this program, we're going to ask for more volunteers, more resources, so we'll give out contact information constantly because this is just not right, especially when there's 1 in 50 children are homeless. Who wants to comment on that? That is just, I can't even imagine that. A little kid, I mean, it's scary enough for little kids, but when they don't even have a home and maybe they're even by themselves. That's not right.
Well, it surprises a lot of people. I think a lot of people, when you say homeless, they picture the guy on the corner with the "We'll Work for Food" sign, and that's their conception, or their perception, rather, of homelessness. A lot of people would be shocked to learn how many families are homeless now in America, how that's the fastest growing segment of that population and has been for quite some time. And a lot of people would be shocked to know how many kids really are homeless out there and the incredible obstacles that they would have to overcome.
Yes, the Arizona Department of Education has school liaisons in every school. In fact, it's been mandated by the McKinney-Vento Act, No Child Left Behind, that all homeless children be provided services in the public school. So annually, they do a count. There are well over 22,000 children in Arizona. Now, these are school-age children, mind you, so we're not even factoring in birth to kindergarten. But over 22,000 children in Arizona that have been identified as being homeless.
That is just incredible. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, school is challenging enough often for kids, but if you don't have a home to go back to, how much more of a disadvantage are these kids engaging in?
The trauma is incredible. They fall behind academically, and it becomes a vicious cycle. We are really perpetuating our next generation of homelessness by not addressing the current problem.
There's no doubt. And remind me, in a little while, I want to ask what the government's doing, but I want to keep going. 41% of the homeless population in America are comprised of families. And I think that's a shocker to people. I think, like, one of you, or maybe all three of you, said the perception out there, if we asked everyone, what's your perception of homeless, it's you know, sadly, the person on the freeway, on-ramp or off-ramp, whatever, at the street corner, certain maybe Vietnam vets, whatever, trying to help themselves. But 41% are families?
You know, there are a lot of them are us, the four of us sitting around this table that are working, and a lot of people struggling to make their mortgage, and they can't, and they have to make a decision what's important. And it's your neighbor, unfortunately, where it used to not be your neighbor.
Yeah.
And in this environment, it is these days. Your neighbor just disappears one day.
It's incredible. I know on other shows we've talked about children and, maybe your parents, they're all moving into one household because of the economy. But this is something that's, that is okay. That was like, remember J.R. Ewing in Dallas? Remember that show? They all lived in the same house. I don't know why. I guess I would, too, if I was a millionaire with oil.
But I'm not sure how functional they turned out to be,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, that, yeah, who shot J.R.? We're still trying to figure that out.
And a lot of times that's not a good situation long-term either for kids or for the people that are hosting the family that's coming in there. But, again, the number of families really is staggering. And we work with a lot of churches at Save the Family. We're looking to expand that this year and work with more congregations. And I think any congregation you went into now would have someone within that congregation that's lost a job, lost a home, maybe both. It's really starting to become personal for people here in America.
And it's interesting when you talk about families doubling up. A lot of families do try that. In fact, there have been reports from school liaisons that they've seen families doubled up as many as 3 to 4 families in one small housing unit, and that ultimately becomes an intolerable situation for all of them, and eventually some of those family components become homeless.
You know, there's no doubt that is just incredible. Now, another stat, and it doesn't give percentages, but family shelters, many of them do not accept men into the programs, which causes families to separate. So who wants to talk a little bit about that, because that's astonishing to me too.
Well, I think that it varies from program to program, and sometimes I really do believe a program that's purely focused on domestic violence, of course, not to be stereotypical, but most often the man is the abuser. So you might find that program by necessity having to exclude men, and of course we wouldn't want the abuser in the program anyway.
Right.
My experience is that, for the most part, I think shelters that are just more homeless, generally homeless focused, are able to accept the family unit. And I think that as a provider community, we're recognizing the tragedy of intentionally dividing or separating a family. We want that family, as a provider community, we want that family to stay as intact as possible because there's strength in that that togetherness, that unit.
There's no doubt. I mean, and this is a time when the divorce rate is so high. And, of course, Tisha and I know about, what was that, Single Parent
Single
Association.
Parents, yeah.
And we were both members of that, and which was a great organization. I mean, the thing with Single Parent Association, and perhaps I read on your website what you do for kids, too, is the kids benefit a lot when they know they're not alone. There are other people in that situation. In that case, single parents. In your case, you have certain therapies or certain groups of kids so they can express their feelings about being homeless.
Yeah, there's programs for the kids, classes for the kids that the kids will take with other kids, also with their families. And as former single parents, you guys can think back to the obstacles that you faced. Can you imagine facing those without having a home, without having a stable place to a roof over your head at night? So single parents in our program face a great deal of obstacles, child care being one of them, vocational help, vocational assistance and training. And we really provide all those services at Save the Family to help them get back on their feet and achieve that lifelong independence that we want for them.
But it's got to be really healing for little kids to be able to express their feelings about homeless and knowing that there's other
that
homeless kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
We use a lot of art as therapy. We find that through that medium, children feel free to talk about things that they might otherwise be embarrassed or ashamed to talk about. It's interesting, Dave, about 60% of our families are victims of domestic violence. The profile of our average client is a single mom, survivor of domestic violence, with 2 to 3 children. And I think one of the unique facets about Save the Family is that we utilize scattered site housing. So our housing is not project-based. We're throughout the East Valley communities of Tempe, Scottsdale. Our predominant number of our units are in Mesa, Chandler and Gilbert also. So we have the nimbleness to be able to take a family of any composition, whether it's a mom who survived DV or a two-parent family, and put them in our units without having to create rules that exclude one member of the family or another for the benefit of the whole good.
Mm-hmm. See, that's fantastic. I mean, you must be really organized, and later on we're going to get into more of the organization. Another stat, which I think is interesting, or is that 29% of adults in homeless families are working, and I think that's an interesting fact. Also, a lot of people would have the perception that they're just homeless, but people are trying.
Yes.
And they're still below the poverty level, or I read somewhere on, I think, the national organization, and I can't remember, what was the name?
Was it the National Alliance on Homelessness?
Yeah, the National Center on Family Homelessness.
Oh, absolutely, good one.
And they talked about the high increase in housing costs, the gap between housing costs and the income levels, and the gap is widening, and that's part of the problem.
Yes, it's interesting that you say that. I mean, we have our roots go back to the late 80s. We've been operating for about 22 years, and we started out as a transitional housing program. We quickly realized that providing housing wasn't enough, that we had to go to that next step and start providing affordable housing as that next transition for our families.
See, that is just so good. It's not just a handout. You're really, it's a strategic plan that you have, that you're positioning yourself to help in more ways. It's not, you know, it's an old saying, you can give people fish for a day or you can teach them how to fish. And that's really what you're doing. You're teaching various skills and career development.
All the services, tools, and resources that our families would need to get back on their feet and achieve that lifelong independence are there at Save the Family. If they're not, we'll find them in the community for them. But one of the first things we do with all of our families is develop what we call an action plan for them. And that includes week-by-week goals of what they need to do to achieve their overall goal of graduating from our program and moving back into the community. So it's a very, very organized, detailed, specific approach for each family, custom tailored to each family.
So it's almost like a coach, what you're doing. And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion with Tim Litster, Jackie Taylor, Tisha Diffie, Save the Family, and we'll be right back.
I want to talk about going.
What if your house is on fire, you call 911? The firemen don't know what to do, the truck's got a flat tire, the water hose has a leak, they can't decide what to wear, and everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process, they follow it, they're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. I see Tim dancing with the music. You didn't think I saw you out of the corner of my eye.
I'm liking the Stray Cat strut. That's
yeah.
good stuff.
It's good. You remember it, huh? You look
sure.
too young to remember that.
Oh, no. No, no.
That's been a while.
I appreciate the compliment, though.
Yeah. You all look too young to remember that. Only I remember that.
Oh,
what's
I remember.
Yeah. Well, in studio from Save the Family, we have Jackie Taylor, CEO, Tim Litster, Community Outreach, and, of course, Tisha Diffie on the Development Committee. And I wanted to mention one more stat, and then I want to go into a couple other things. 42% of children in homeless families are under age 6. That is ridiculous. I mean, age 6. Who wants to talk about the devastation or the, I mean, how scary that could be for a little kid.
How scary it is. And yet, in some ways, I have to tell you, it probably becomes scarier as the children get older and realize that homelessness is not the norm. I think it's easy when you're a very young child and you're still trusting your parents, assuming you're not in a domestic violence situation. Your world is right as long as your parents are taking care of you. Now, if you're in a DV situation, it's totally a different hurtful situation. But yes, I mean, and then from a psychological perspective, we can think of what the psychological impact is to these children when they're in such their moldable developmental stage.
You know, let's talk a little bit about each of your passion. I mean, you each have a passion for this. Now, Jackie mm-hmm. and Tim, you're actually... you work full-time with Save
yes.
the Family. However, Tisha gives her great time, her passion, her heart and soul. Mm-hmm. So tell us what it's like for you to be a volunteer and what's your passion, what drives you to do this?
You know, it's a lot of fun. My husband Larry and I got involved when our church did a community volunteer for them. We'll go out. Jackie was talking earlier about the housing units. And they like to have larger groups of volunteers go out and actually turn over the apartments or the housing units in a day. So you go out and clean it and paint it and clean the carpets and scrub out the stove and clean out the refrigerator and do everything. And you've got about 12 people and you go out and spend the day doing that. And we started about 6 years ago, I think, doing that, somewhere in there. And it stuck. I really liked their program. I really liked what they saw in their vision. And at the time, I didn't know anybody homeless, which is not true now. And just really saw what the people who worked there at the time really saw about the group. And it just grabbed me heart, and I haven't been able to let go. So yeah. I go back and give money, and our company supports them, and our networking group supports them, and all kinds of things. So it's fun.
Wow, that is so cool. And do you interact with any of the homeless families, some of the kids?
On very rare occasion, they've got very specific things that as volunteers you can actually do with them. 3 years ago, our women's financial group actually had a baby shower for one of the ladies that had a brand new baby. She had a little older girl, but he had a baby boy. And
wow.
It was a very different environment. I anticipated, as most baby showers, they're fun. You go and you sit around and you talk, and you talk about the babies and the neighbors and the husbands and everything. And when you're in that environment, they don't have that same base to start with. And it's not that all fun and games. It really is something that's going to make a difference in their life for their day-to-day living. And it's a great thing.
Wow. That gives new meaning to a baby shower, actually. And that's incredible. Now, Tim, how long have you been with Save the Family?
I'm coming up on 6 years.
Wow. Now, what has this meant to you? What's your passion? What drives you? What touches your heart and soul in this?
The families overall, but in particular the kids. When you mention the kids, because really they don't make the choices or decisions that land them at our doorstep. But unfortunately, if you don't intervene in their lives, if you don't offer them a hand and reach out to them, they're going to probably grow up to repeat the same behaviors that led their family to us. And they're certainly going to pay a large price regardless of whether they repeat those behaviors or not. So the kids is really what brings me back. But the families overall, and I've seen so many successes in my 6 years there that it just keeps you coming back for more. And you see a family that comes in at absolute ground zero and really soaks up the program and takes advantage of the classes and really works hard and shows the courage to turn their lives around, boy, that's something that'll keep you coming back day after day.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting if you think about it, the Gen X, you know, that generation, it's sort of the hand-me generation, and you're looking at people that are really struggling without a home but trying to make something of themselves. And
right.
And it's sort of like the good old-fashioned values back in America.
Well, and a lot of those apply to the program, too. I mean, if a family brings two qualities to the table with us, and they maintain those qualities during their time with us, if they bring motivation and a willingness to work, they're going to succeed.
Wow.
They will turn their lives around because every tool and resource is there for them. With the interaction that they have with their case managers on a week-to-week basis, the path for their success is very clearly defined. And ultimately, they've got to utilize the tools and walk the path, but it's all there for them. So if they bring those qualities and they maintain them, they're going to have success.
So are there classes on motivation? Do you actually teach that, or how do you help people?
We have
motivation?
All different kinds of life skills classes, anger management, domestic violence survival, parenting skills, personal finance 101 classes. There are all different kinds of what we call life skills classes available to our clients.
And we've actually implemented a new program. It's focused on executive functioning skills. I jokingly said I could probably learn something from it. But basically, we look at the skills it takes to be successful in life. We work with the client from their initial intake appointment and have them evaluate where they rate in these various functions. Then that drives the case plan. It drives the client to say, oh, well, gee, I'm really bad at money management. I need to work on this in my programming, or maybe I'm really bad, or I need to improve as a parent, or my job skills need honing. So I'm so excited about, we have a wonderful director of clinical services who actually really created this program, and we're starting the implementation of it, and it's a huge aha for our clients to look at where they are and where they should be.
That is awesome because, I mean, that's what this radio show is about, Breakthrough Thinking, is breakthrough old patterns of behaviors and thought processes that have kept you back, you know, from really reaching your full potential. Mm-hmm. So I like that. It's very consistent. Now, Jackie, how long have you been with Save
the
Family?
Well, I'm going to date myself. I've only been with Save the Family since April, but I've been working in the homeless arena for over 18 years.
Wow. So you really have a heart and soul for this. So tell us about that.
It is truly a passion, and I really believe, Dave, that for most people, once they get their arms around the issue of the trauma of homelessness, it's very hard not to have your heart and soul catch on fire and realize that you have to be part of the solution, not the problem, not perpetuating the problem. And that really happened to me in my beginning journey with another nonprofit back in the late 80s. Honestly, God led me to this particular agency, and I was there as a consultant, and my heart and soul were just on fire for the work of the organization. I was blessed to eventually be hired as the CEO there. And what drives me is the day-to-day miracles that happen in the lives of these people. You know, we are all connected as brothers and sisters, I believe, through God, Christ. And we have an obligation to care for one another. And how blessed I am to be able to do that every day. And so it truly is a passion for me. And I so feel blessed to be able to do this.
So I would think, you know, like minds attract each other. And so your volunteers, I suspect, have similar passions and attitudes. Is that right?
That we do. That we do.
You know, as Tisha can speak to that.
Yeah. As a volunteer, when you first go in, we did it because the church had supported them. And now I do it because I love them. And I just think that they serve such a mission that really is stated in the Bible. But also, I just think it's common human decency just to take care of your neighbor. And from an outside perspective looking in, you don't know everything that goes on and all the people that they help. And as a volunteer, I went in for one reason, and I've kind of expanded from that, not just with my giving, but with how I participate and how I promote them and how I'm able to talk to people now about them, because I know a lot more about them and can really say, this is an excellent program. How can we help them? Because they're really helping something bigger than ourselves. It's not just about our world.
And Dave, I have to say, our volunteers like Tisha, they are so much the heart of what we do. Mm-hmm. Homelessness can be a very lonely journey, but when the community cares and gets involved and really enmeshed in the program and helping the lives of the clients, it really becomes the wind beneath their wings, so to speak. And I think the clients feel this sense of, yes, somebody out there does care. I'm not in this journey all by myself.
Mm-hmm. And when we come back from our break, we're going to continue our discussion with some great people from Save the Family, Tim Litster, Jackie Taylor, Tisha Diffie, and we'll be right back.
KXXT.
KXXT.
Arizona's station.
Are you living a healthy life? Are you in constant pain? Do you suffer from the top five life-threatening diseases? Heart disease, arthritis, high cholesterol, diabetes? There is a solution. Today, there is finally an answer to your prayers. BioVaccin can nourish and oxygenate your cells, reduce the aging process, rebuild and nourish your bones, cleanse and eliminate the toxins from your body, help rid you of your pain once and for all. Call 800-288-1961. Again, the number is 800-288-1961. The unique BioVaccin is the only product on the market to contain over 200 nutrients. One dose includes all of your natural A to Z vitamins in the proper amounts, including over 1,200 milligrams of calcium. Your life-changing fruits, which have been known as the secret to living over 100 years of age throughout China, all have powerful antioxidant healing properties. One of the most phenomenal ingredients found, the Achaia berry, which helps to lower cholesterol levels. The Noni helps to cleanse the body's toxins. The Goji helps to reduce blood glucose and destroy cancer cells. The Wolfberry helps to promote healthy eyesight and and prevent macular degeneration. The pomegranate, known to fight cancer and aging, and the popular resveratrol, which helps to prevent cell damage. Minerals from over 40 plant sources, sea vegetation, all of your essential amino acids, all of your essential fatty acids, over 20 homeostatic probiotics helping to restore your intestinal and colon health, and all of your digestive enzymes. It does not matter what your health issue is, Biovaxin is for everyone. It has miraculously impacted so many lives with less pain, better sleep, improved breathing, increased energy levels, and super improved vision. The proof is in the liquid absorption rate. What happens when you feed your plant? It grows. What happens when you feed your body Biovaxin? Your body breathes better. You have more flexibility and your health grows from the inside to the outside the first time you drink your first dose. The nutrition values in the BioVaccine is all you'll ever need. With one simple dose, your test will pass with flying colors. Call now for your free bottle when you get two. Don't settle for anything less. Call 800-288-1961. That number again is 800-288-1961.
This is 1010 KXXT.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And I am so honored to have Save the Family as an organization in here. Tim Litster, Jackie Taylor, Tisha Diffie. You guys are wonderful people. You know, it's so refreshing to meet people that know there's a different meaning in life than just getting up and thinking about yourself and what you're going to eat today and you know, what movie you're going to see and your vacation. And, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but people are seeking a different meaning or a higher meaning in life. And I think there's nothing better than to go outside yourself, a selfless state, and help the kids and the families. Am I right?
I would totally agree with you on that. And you know, volunteerism and volunteers like Tisha are so valuable to Save the Family. We had over 47,000 volunteer hours last year that saved us over $1 million in budget items. And it could be professional volunteers like lawyers, dentists. It could be really anything. Anybody that has any kind of passion or an aptitude to help us out, we'll find a way to put you to work. And the best thing to do is go to our website, which is savethefamily.org. We've got a volunteer icon on there. We've got a fantastic volunteer director, Michelle Alves, who can find ways to put you to work. And Tisha mentioned her first experience with us came through her church. And I believe I mentioned earlier, we're looking to expand our outreach to churches this year. So if someone listening is a member of a church or a pastor or a mission team leader or a mission team member, and you think your church might be a good fit for what we're doing at Save the Family, by all means, check out our website, do your homework, and then contact us. And we would love to have you involved with us.
If you think about it, it's a great thing for the youth to get involved in. Because if you have two or three adults bring a dozen of those high school kids out there, they're complaining about getting an Xbox, might go away for a bit if you take them and show them that there are kids that don't even have a home to go to. I mean, that can't even turn on the faucet and get a drink of water or wash their hands. So it really gives them a perspective outside of their own world as teenagers.
And go ahead.
Oh, it's so interesting. We're even talking about, you know, satisfaction of giving back. I was having lunch with a colleague today. We were talking about the four levels of satisfaction and truly the most evolved level that really does grant sort of that peace that passes understanding, you know, is when you give to others because you want to give of yourself. It's not about what you get. It's what you give. And we see that every day at Save the Family, volunteers like Tisha and thousands of others that come and just give of their heart and their passion and their skills because they want to help and make a difference. It's just awesome.
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, I think people really are seeking that. They want to have peace and happiness in their life. I think they go about it the wrong way. We've talked about it on this some of our programs before where, you know, money, does that really create happiness? No. I mean, things? No. And I think people at some point will learn that lesson. It's better to learn it now and give of yourself to help another life because the life you help could be incredible. I mean, that one life could make such a difference in the world. And so tell us a little bit, Jackie, off there, you're talking about some miracles, some examples, some stories, real life stories. I think this would be really good for the listening audience to hear this.
It is amazing. And Tim, please join in. But Last week particularly hit me. You know, being in administration, I am not so directly hands-on with the clients. But last week, I had a couple of just powerful experiences back-to-back. Wednesday, I was taking a couple of our volunteers who are on our facilities committee around, and we walked into our career development center. This was after 5 in the afternoon, and there stood a single dad, father of 3 children under the age of 5, and our staff in our career development center was helping him find professional clothing. He was beaming. He was moving from his $7 an hour jack-in-the-box job to a $15 an hour job with a bank. So, of course, his clothing, his whole wardrobe had to change. But what a miracle. I mean, and that we just happened to stumble on that, you know, I just said, thank you, God. I needed that. The following day, I was doing some work, you know, going through emails and stuff, working at my desk, and the direct service staff downstairs called and said, Jackie, you know, what are you doing? I was just working. They said, do you have time to come down? We have something to share with you. And so, of course, I went down, and I actually drug a couple of other admin staff with me, not knowing what we would find. And there was this young African-American boy. He was a senior. He is a senior in high school, scheduled to graduate in December, with his mother. And they were sharing with the staff that he had just won a full-ride scholarship to a private college in Kansas. And, you know, he was beaming. So, of course, we grabbed the camera and we took his picture. And Mom tapped me on the shoulder as I was turning to leave. And she said, I have to tell you, this is the most fantastic program. It has helped us pull our lives together. My comment was, you deserve the credit because you brought the will and the desire to make it work. Those kinds of things happen over and over again. We've had families move from living in transitional housing to moving to home ownership. That's the dramatic miracle. But the smaller day-to-day miracles, those steps that each client takes every day to reach self-sufficiency are just such gifts.
And that's the key word, I think, is self-sufficiency. And I think that's such a gift to be able to get someone on that path because, I think that's the dream of everyone. I mean, freedom, I think, equals self-sufficiency. Flexibility does. And no one really wants to be taken care of. I mean, you hear people out there saying, oh, they just want to be taken care of. I think deep down people really want to break out of that. They just don't know how. They don't have help. That's why volunteers are so important.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a real key thing. Now, what strikes me a little bit is when you said, you know, he moved from, you know, that gentleman from a $7 an hour job at Jack in the Box. And of course, nothing wrong with Jack in the Box.
Oh, no.
I
great
love
milkshakes.
Oh, absolutely.
And I love their commercials. They're funny commercials. They're really entertaining. And of course, to a bank job. And I think I'm just going to take a guess on this, but maybe you got to credit the employer a little bit. I suspect they knew, and here's someone that wants to take a chance on a situation like that and not play it safe. Am I right?
Absolutely. And we have a wonderful Career Development Center staff. They work diligently to make connections in the community with employers who will, if you will, take a chance with our clients who have fallen on hard times. And it's that kind of support. It's helping our clients maneuver through complicated systems that ultimately leads to success in of them landing a job. One of the things I love about our program, Dave, we're not content to have any of our clients achieve a minimum wage paying job. We strive for $10 or higher an hour. That's our standard. And while, you know, as we're sitting around saying, $10,000, well, that's just a little over $20,000 a year, that's still not much. But statistically, we know that the family has a chance of making it with a wage of $10 an hour or more. They will not with less than that.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Now, how can employers get involved? Because I think that's going to be important to have a, employers become aware that there's a great opportunity. And if you really think about it, it's not just the technical skills people bring. I would rather have someone that's highly motivated and has a passion for what they do versus someone just coming in and you know, maybe they have the silver spoon syndrome.
Well, and after leaving our program, they would have a demonstrated track record of work ethic.
Yeah.
Because it takes hard work to get through our program and get through that. But employers, if they were interested, they should contact our career development staff. Again, go to the website, savethefamily.org. They could always contact myself, and I'll put them in touch with the right people. And we've got a brand new program that we've started called Job Club, in which prospective employers come out and speak with small groups of our clients and talk about what they look for in a candidate, what they look for in an employee, how their interview process works, what are good things to bring to that interview, what are some negative things you want to leave behind out of that interview, because the interview situation is tough. Even if you've been through it a number of times, job interviews are stressful situations. So the Job Club has empowered our clients to really know what that interview situation is going to be like, what that employer situation is going to be like. So I would encourage anyone listening, if you're in position to help some of our clients with employment, by all means, contact us.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking about miracles. One of the miracles that happens on a regular basis in our Career Development Center is former clients who we have helped gain employment have risen to manager status, and they're calling us and saying, I need a pool of employees to choose from. Send us some clients. So it's like caring for their own, having that appreciation of for the program that they came through and wanting to do their part to make a difference.
You know, and I like what you said, Tim, about work ethic. I mean, you're right, a demonstrated track record. I mean, it's a little interesting to me as an employer, as well as, you know, solidly in business. I have a CPA firm and a training company, but it's interesting that the work ethic in America, it seems like it could use some upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yeah,
I mean,
I
tweaking.
Yeah, maybe tweaking is better. Upgrades, tweaking. But and so you're really giving an amazing gift to people that. But they really realize, I think, that maybe it's that extra effort. They have to have that extra effort, isn't
and they,
that right?
And they want to work. Again, that's another misconception about homelessness is that, oh, they choose to be homeless, they're lazy, they don't want to work, they want a handout. That's very rarely the case. They want to work. They may not have the skills to earn a livable wage. They may need just some opportunities or some direction or some guidance into how to get to that livable wage. And that's really what we provide at Save the Family, the opportunities, the tools, and the resources.
And how about the government? You know, I reminded myself, remember early on, I said, someone remind me, but I always take notes here. The government, I read something on one of the websites, I think it was the National Center of Family Homelessness, that is about a 49% decrease in low-income housing, and that's part of the problem. Is that right? Do you see that? Is there a lack of government concern right now or sort of anemic right now?
I think that trends depending on who's in power, not to be political, and I won't go any farther.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily of Kurt. No, I mean of me. Okay.
having said that, there has been an erosion of affordable housing across the nation. There is no doubt about that. But I would not go to the extent to say that government isn't concerned. My job prior to coming to Save the Family was with the Arizona Coalition to End Homelessness. And, of course, in that role, I intersected a lot with national advocacy groups. I think HUD is very concerned about this decline in affordable housing. There have been a lot of federal efforts to beef up the response to homelessness. Lately, most notably, HUD has taken what we have known for years as the McKinney-Vento Act, and they have tweaked that really very significantly to expand the definition of homelessness, which pretty much was limited in the past to singles, but to include families that are even what we would call couch surfing, those doubled up, you know, multi-housed units of families. I think that's a step in the right direction. The Veterans Administration has made pledged a 5-year commitment to end homelessness among veterans in 5 years.
Oh, good.
That's huge. And they haven't just said veteran singles, it's veteran families as well. So the vet and his or her family are included in that target population. That's a very healthy and exciting thing. I think as a provider community, we're hopeful that, and I believe it was General Jenseki, I hope I said that right, who's really behind this. There's been a lot of coordination among the other federal departments like HUD and SAMHSA, which is the Mental Health Agency, Department of Labor, to create a real integrated effort to end homelessness among veterans. We're hoping that this becomes a model, that if it can work with the veterans, that we've modeled a program that can be translated to the more general homeless population.
Which would be outstanding. I did find the site. It said federal support for low-income housing has fallen 49%. But however, what's interesting, it's from 1980 to 2003. Mm-hmm. That's quite a span of years. Also, the average wait for public housing is 24 months. That's craziness. I mean,
it's crazy.
I mean, I can't even imagine, yeah, 24-month waiting. So what do you do in the meantime? Mm-hmm. The average wait for Section 8 voucher is 35 months. I mean, that is just nutty. And there's something has to be done about that. But I like that business model. Are you going to really have that as part of your model two is to have a goal to end all homelessness, families or veterans or whoever?
Well, ultimately, I mean, in our vision statement, we envision communities free of homelessness. Now, we know that we're going to have to work very hard. It's really a paradox being in this business because we hope we work ourselves out of a job.
Absolutely.
From a moral perspective, we have to believe that's possible. And
however, I bet it's not a job to you. This is a passion.
No, it is not a job. I agree. Yeah. But
because I see the passion in your eyes.
Yes, I feel it. Thank you. I mean, I'm so blessed. But, you know, I believe we will always have people who experience homelessness. But I also believe we can become 1,000% more efficient and effective in how we help people get over that hump and transition into a life of self-sufficiency.
There's no doubt. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Jackie Taylor, CEO of Save the Family, Tim Litster, Community Outreach Manager, and Tisha Diffie, who is a great volunteer, really pouring her heart and soul out and is on the Development Committee. And we'll be right back.
Are you able to ensure the safe driving and productivity of your employees? I'm Kara Lee with GPS Heroes, and with our plug-and-play GPS device, you can set geofences, get speeding alerts, and a full report card each week with driver reports and mileage, all to your computer or handheld device. It's easy to get and easy to use, in real time, with no service contracts. Just go to gpsheroes.org/21 and order yours today. That's gpsheroes.org/21.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And in studio, Save the Family, Tim Litster, Jackie Taylor, Tisha Diffie.
And we've been talking about miracles, about states of selflessness, about really people out there making a difference. And how appreciative are your clients? Do you call them clients? Is that what? Mm-hmm.
We call them clients.
How appreciative are they when you're reaching out to help?
I would say if you would see the expression of a family that has pulled their life together and is able to move on to that life of independence, you know that the gratitude is there. There's a phenomenal amount of gratitude, I would say, wouldn't you, Tim?
Absolutely. We do graduation ceremonies a couple times a year, and those are always very, very moving experiences. It's really, it's something to see a family that came to you maybe 8-9 months ago, just at absolute ground zero, a woman who was so worn down from emotional, physical abuse that she couldn't even make eye contact with you when she talked to you. She would look down at the ground. To see her get up in front of a crowd and tell her story, because we always extend that invitation to our graduating families. If they choose to do so, they can share their story with the people that attend. And not all of them do, but some do. And to see one that comes from a situation like that stand up in front of a room full of people with her kids by her side and tell her story when 9 months ago she couldn't even look you in the eye, it's an amazingly powerful thing, and you can sense the gratitude coming from them. And the kids glom onto that, too. The kids see that and know that the community is giving back. And Jackie mentioned that we've had former clients come back as potential employers for our clients. We have a lot of former clients come back and volunteer time with us. We have clients that come back and sponsor families for the holidays, for Christmas and Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And when
that
it comes
giving
full
back,
circle,
right?
it's amazing when it comes full circle like that, that you know the program really had a resonant effect on their lives and will have for their entire lives.
That is just, I mean, if you know, people trying to find their passion and purpose in life, it sounds like all three of you have. You are really blessed, because most people don't. They think what they're doing is their real purpose. Rude awakening eventually, you know, right? That's
and
what
part,
I think.
Part of our job, Dave, is to open those possibilities for others.
Go. There you go.
See, that's a good way to look at it. Now, what's interesting is you have a thrift story. So there's a lot to this, a lot more than we've talked about. 15,000 square foot facility, right? Mm-hmm. An administrative facility?
Mm-hmm. Administrative and program facility.
That's pretty neat. That's a nice space.
If you go out there, I'll do my little plug for their
tour. Oh, yeah.
They're located at 450 West 4th Place, 450 West 4th Place in Mesa. Uh-huh. So if you want to go by there, go by there. But they have, when you go into their facility, on their they're kind of a two-story building on their top floor up there. They've got Main Street. So when a family actually comes into the program, they actually have the family gets to go through and go shopping. So they have rooms for babies and rooms for little kids and rooms for teenagers and for mothers and fathers and food. And they have a library and everything. And they actually can earn Save the Family money, and they can go up and go shopping in the store. And so there's everything they need there. And it's part of the life skills that their program teaches. But it also teaches them that, you know, you have to earn it, but here's how, when you come out, you're going to be able to do this. And it is a wonderful thing. It was all built by volunteers. It's all the stuff in there is donated. And it's just absolutely beautiful. Their library's got this really dark plush carpet, so you can go sit on the floor in the library and put your little feet up and pick a book off the shelf and read in the library.
Oh,
so it's really
cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. Now, what are the hours of operation? Can you come in anytime or what?
Well, the library, we have a specific organized volunteer opportunity on Wednesday nights. It's a reading hour, and volunteers come in and pick a child, and the child picks a book, which the child's able to keep. We only ask them, don't throw it away when you're done, you know, pass it on to another child. But it's a phenomenal opportunity for that caring aspect. We love getting men in our reading hour because so many of our children don't have that healthy male model. So it's a great mentoring, teaching, nurturing time for our community to come in and literally touch the lives of our children.
So it's go ahead. Well,
you know, Tisha was mentioning tours, and you asked about our hours of operation. So I just want to mention we're open 7 to 5:30 Monday through Thursday. If you want to come out for a tour, it usually takes about 45 minutes. Contact me. If that time frame doesn't work, contact me. We'll work something out and get you out at another time, because we want you to come out and see the facility, because that's really when you really the wheels start turning in your head and you start seeing ways, hey, I could plug in here, I could do this, I could help in this way. And that really is the best way to learn about us. You can contact me through the website or via our phone lines, but we would love to have you come on out for a tour and learn more about us.
And again, the website is savethefamily.org. Mm-hmm. And nice website.
Thank
I was
you.
All over it this morning. I
Thank
liked
you.
It. I go, this is great. And now there's other things. West of the main building is Stardust Resource Center. Is
yes,
that, what is that?
That is home to our maintenance crew. We have actually 71 transitional units, and we have 121 affordable housing units. So nearly 200 scattered site units throughout the community. And, of course, you know how your own home is. Something's always breaking. Well, with 200 homes, something's always breaking.
Oh, I can imagine.
So we have a wonderful maintenance cadre that are they're on call 24/7 when our clients have emergencies, as you can imagine they do. That is also home to our donation center. We have a fabulous staff that will actually pick up donations if you have larger items, furniture items, which we always are desperate for furniture, particularly beds and dressers, couches.
Did you mention beds?
Did I mention beds?
Okay.
But yes. So our donation center is located in that part of the facility as well.
And I suspect this is a 501c3?
We are a nonprofit, absolutely. So all donations, well, of course, you must check all donations with your CPA. However, in general, most donations to Save the Family should be tax deductible.
And who's your favorite CPA now?
Oh,
no,
you are.
Okay, just kidding. Just
I got that one.
Okay, just getting you there. This is great. Now, you got some events coming up. One in particular that I noticed, Hearts of Gold. It's a casino night, Save the Family Casino Night at Villa Siena. Did I say that right?
Yes,
Villa
you did.
Siena. What does that mean in...
this is a great time. I'm telling you. I would fully endorse this event. And you've attended, so...
I have not attended.
I thought you did. Okay.
No, I have yet to attend, and I can't go this year. I'll be volunteering at church for 4 days, so I can't go again this year.
But
so
you're volunteering somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I volunteer.
So tell us. Tell us about how this works.
Hearts of Gold, one of our major fundraisers. It is an absolute blast. It's casino gaming for prizes. We've got a hosted cocktail hour. We have a silent auction. All kinds of great food and drink out there. Villa Siena is a spot that's in Elliott Road in Gilbert, and it's coming up February 25th. The best thing to do, again, to learn more about this or to buy your tickets, and we do encourage you to come on out. It's a blast. Is visit our website, savethefamily.org. Tickets are on sale online. But man, I'll tell you what, this is one that I have to work every year, and I say to my wife every year, I said, I wish we could go to this and not work this, because I'd be having so much fun here. But people have an absolute blast doing the casino gaming for prizes, and then again, we'll have the silent auction, and it's a great, great time, and that's coming up February 25th, which is a Friday.
And if you're not into casino gaming, we have an event in April, a golf event.
Oh, yeah. So tell us a little bit about the golf event.
Golf is coming up April 15th at the Whirlwind Golf Club. It's a scramble format. This will be, if I'm correct, our 11th annual golf tournament. We always have a great time with this. We've shifted a couple of things this year. We're going to do it on a Friday. Going to start at 1:30 in the afternoon, and then there's going to be a cocktail reception and dinner afterward with a silent auction. So come on out, bring your spouse. If your spouse doesn't golf, come bring them out for the dinner and the auction. We've got some great auction items and prizes, and it's just going to be a great time. And again, best thing to do, go to the website for that one. But that's Friday, April 15th, coming up, Golf to Save the Family.
And what if you play miniature golf? Can you still golf?
We'll give you a good handicap.
Yeah.
We welcome golfers of any skill, gender, anyone is welcome.
I'm really good on the windmill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you and I would be better off on the golf course, because I'm more of a miniature golfer myself.
Now, to me, scrambled is eggs. So I don't even know what scramble is in golf. So
what is scramble?
Can
you explain that?
Well, it kind of means that everybody has a chance to participate, even if you're not a good golfer, because your foursome uses one shot from each player. player.
Even if miniature golf is your forte.
You know what? If you can sink a long putt, you're going to be popular in the scramble format. So it kind of levels the playing field for everybody and gives everybody a chance to really participate. Wow.
That is just incredible. Now, how many people usually will show up at an event like the casino night?
Casino night, we've had as many as 400.
Oh, that's a nice event.
It's a big event, and we're hoping for a great turnout this year. We have sponsorship packages available if some of your sponsoring businesses would want to be a part of that. They could contact us at Save the Family. There's information on that on the website, too, because we would love to have companies involved at that sponsorship level and help us underwrite some costs. And there's some great benefits for our sponsors, too, in terms of the event itself.
Wow, this is incredible. It's such an honor to have all three of you here. And
it's been great to be here.
We're at
Thank
the end
you.
Of the show already. Oh, welcome.
It
I can't
was fun.
It.
Well,
thank
you.
Jackie Taylor, CEO, thank you so much.
Thank you so
Tim
much.
Tim Litster, a community outreach manager, thank you.
Thank
Tisha
you, Dave.
Diffie, thank you so much for
Thanks, Dave.
And even telling me about this. Tisha is the one that let me know that you even exist. And we really appreciate you being on. And we're going to have you on again because
Great.
This is critical
Great.
To society, but it's also critical to the growth of the giver and the receiver. That's how I see it. And stay tuned for the Business Innovation Panel. We'll be right back.
FamilyValuesRadio.net
1010 KXXT
Tolleson, Phoenix.